Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
From Washington to Jefferson, Lincoln to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Kennedy to Nixon, Reagan to Obama and Biden, the 45 United States presidents have left lasting impacts on our nation. Some of their legacies continue today. Some are justly forgotten, and some have changed as America has changed. Whether famous, infamous, or obscure, all the presidents shaped our nation in unexpected ways. Now, who best served America and who undermined the founding ideals? Who were the first ladies and what were their surprising roles in making history? Which presidents were the best, the worst, and which didn't have much impact at all? How do decisions made in one era under the pressure of particular circumstances still resonate today? Well, these and many more questions are answered in each chapter of the new book, Confronting the Presidents. Bill O'Reilly is, of course, the award-winning conservative voice. Bill shares his views on his no-spin news, nospinnews.com. This summer, June through mid-August, Bill had a whopping 43 million YouTube views for no-spin news. He appears weekly on Chris Cuomo on News Nation. He joins us once again. Bill, how are you? Happy Friday to you.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me in. I really appreciate it. Thanks for reading the book.
Absolutely. You know, I have so many things to talk to you about, but let's start with this new book, This New Direction. It's new from the Killing series. I like it.
Yeah, I couldn't kill 45 presidents. I'd be put in federal penitentiary for the rest of my life.
That's true.
So we just changed the word killing to confronting. Same style. Very direct, put you right there in the White House with all of these men. You'll learn something on every page, because I don't want to waste your time. And as you know, we are the biggest nonfiction selling authors in the world.
Yeah.
And this is off to a really robust start, Confronting the Presidents, and we're very pleased.
You know, from Washington to Biden, you break down so much, as you said, about each president, and you really get to understand the corruption that has been present for centuries.
Oh, no doubt about it. Whenever you had that kind of power, the most powerful men in the world sat in Washington, D.C. I think that probably that started with Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War, and then from then on to the present day, there's not been a more powerful presence than a president. And some of them were very corrupt. Warren Harding, my God, look at this guy. And John Tyler, it's like, are you kidding me? But they were there. They did these things. And in modern day, Lyndon Johnson. I don't think you get more corrupt than Lyndon Johnson. That guy was unbelievable.
Well, I feel like we all know these surface level things, Bill. Like, we do know, like, surface level things about these presidents. You dig very deep into each of these presidents. You do.
Well, we mythologize our presidents in America. And now, with the collapse of the public school system, a lot of places don't even teach history.
It's true.
For example, we opened the book with George Washington. And everybody thinks they know all about George Washington. Well, you don't. Okay.
No. Yeah.
So the book opens with George Washington is mad at his mother. George Washington and his mother despised each other. He didn't even go to her funeral.
That's
because she was expecting to inherit the estate. And when her husband, George's father, died, he left it to George. And then George was in charge of doling out money to his mom, and his mom thought she was getting shortchanged and would write letters to the Virginia newspaper saying, my son Georgie's starving me, which drove the general absolutely up the wall.
Yeah.
Nobody knows that.
No.
So that's just a sample of what you're getting confronting the president.
Well, you get a lot of behind the scenes and their personal stories as well. But, you know, when I think about what we're talking about today and what just happened in the debate this week, talking about abortion and putting that decision back to the states, I mean, that was in the first days of George Washington, that included the argument if government should have the most power or should it be going to the states. That was one of the big arguments during his administration.
Sure. And Washington came down on the side of federalism, that the government, federal government, should enforce the Constitution. So it was Washington and Alexander Hamilton against Thomas Jefferson and James Madison. And again, everybody said, oh, founding fathers are all friends. No. There was a lot of robust debate. It wasn't hateful like it is now. These men were all in it together because they were going to be hung if we hadn't won the Revolutionary War. But there was a very, very divided point of view between our founders. And, you know, all of the things that we're dealing with now in modern life, Dave, and this is the big reason I wrote Confronting the Presidents, because it's relevant to today.
Absolutely.
Kamala Harris's campaign is modeled on the campaign of Warren Harding. We're not talking to anybody. We're not defining anything. Harding didn't even come out of his house. He kind of just waved at you from his porch in Ohio.
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody knew what they were voting for. They just didn't want more Democrats than Woodrow Wilson. All right. I'll vote for a chimpanzee. And Warren was the chimp. And he got in there and he's looking horrible. Yeah. And it's a really cautionary tale. You vote for somebody, you don't know them, and they refuse to tell you what they're going to do or how they're going to do it. You're really taking a chance with your vote in your country.
It's very true. It's very true. You just going back to Washington, you know, in his farewell address, you noted that he talked more about his challenges, like what he struggled with in the presidency, much more than his accomplishments, which was quite a bit. But it spoke to Washington as a leader, you know?
You know, all of these guys had strengths and weaknesses. And that's another thing that Americans say, well, once you're president, you know, I either love you or I hate you. These guys are in the middle. You know, there's some things you like about them and there's some things you don't like about them. And so it's not, you know, good, bad, evil, that kind of thing. And that's the way we do it today. All right. So we demonize everybody with whom we disagree. They're evil. They're bad. Blah, blah, blah. But it's not that way. Donald Trump's the best example of that. So he governed pretty effectively by any measure, if you're a historian and you're not putting emotion into it, in his 4 years. I mean, real wages up more than 7%. I mean, that's an extraordinary achievement. And then, of course, COVID came in. But the way that Trump handles himself obscures what he did in his term.
It does.
And
it's very
so
true.
It gets to be very, very complicated for Americans to sort all this out. And if you're reconfronting the presidents, it'll make it easier for you to do that.
It's funny you mention that because presidential legacies, they're complicated. I mean, they're complicated. Even in the time that they're in office, within the decade that they leave office, it's very different even how they're viewed decades, centuries later, you know?
Sure, because things change and things are uncovered. You know, a guy like John F. Kennedy was absolutely deified. He was the greatest Camelot, all of this stuff. And then as the years go by, you go, oh, you know, some of the things that he was doing, not so good. And that is why that when we wrote about Trump and Biden at the end of Confronting the Presidents, the last two chapters, I did essays rather than a historical rundown, because history is not fully complete on either man.
It's true.
So yeah. We did essays about what we know, which I thought was a fair way to handle it.
Well, and you talk about the good and the bad. You know, Andrew Jackson changed the country's political landscape, but some of his policies marred that legacy. FDR, unprecedented 4 terms in office, navigating the Great Depression, of course, World War II, but still calling out pivotal issues like the internment of Japanese Americans. Like there was, there's presidents that are lifted up on a pedestal, but each one of them had their challenges, and they're very well documented in this book.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the human condition. So you have strengths, you have weaknesses, you do good things, you do bad things. And it's then the reader of the book, you make the decision on the person. I am the messenger, the journalist, historian, messenger. Mm-hmm. Here's what happened. Not opinion. There's no opinion in this book other than the Biden-Trump essays, their opinion. Okay, but it's all right down the line. And then at the end, when we conclude about overall effectiveness, we base it on what we have told you. And so that's the fun of the book. But you really get to know the rhythm of your country from Washington all the way up to the present day.
You talk about Richard Nixon's achievements in foreign policy, but again, he'll always be known for Watergate and the resignation. There's a lot of tension on President Reagan right now with the movie that's out there, you know, probably the first true conservative U.S. president in half a century when he took office. But, you know, even Reagan, especially in his second term, and I revered him. It was one of my first jobs, and I'll tell this to our listeners too, like one of my first jobs at 16 years old was making calls for the Reagan-Bush campaign, you know, a million years ago. But his second term, he did have his challenges.
Sure. Reagan was overall a very good president for two reasons. He lifted the nation up after the awful malaise of Jimmy Carter. And Carter wasn't a bad man. He was just way over his head. It would be like me hitting cleanup for the Cubs tonight. Okay. I'm not going to get a hit. All right.
Okay.
So you put a governor of Georgia in there and he doesn't know what he's doing. And it got really bad. And Reagan came in, and lifted the morale of the nation, which was exceedingly important at that time in history. And then his vision about communism and how to defeat it was brilliant. And he succeeded in doing that. He didn't live to see it. The total collapse of communism, but it was his policies that led to it. So, but on the downside, you know, he had a lot of stuff that he delegated to other people that turned out to be horrendous. I mean, he wasn't the architect of Iran-Contra trading the arms for hostages and all that. He wasn't the architect of that, but it happened on his watch because he didn't pay attention to it. So that is every president. Now, there are some who are just absolutely horrible, like James Buchanan, the worst president in history, a coward, who allowed the South to rise in ferocity. And that's why the Civil War happened. John Tyler, a traitor.
Right.
You know, really, some are just like, and there's horrifying. No positive case to be made. But others who are bad, you can even you understand why. You know, a guy like Franklin Pierce watches his young son get decapitated. Yeah. I mean, and it just blew him out. He just couldn't function after that. So that's this book is just every page, as I said, you'll learn something you didn't know.
We're talking to Bill O'Reilly. His new book is Confronting the Presidents, and there's more with Bill next here on 720 WGN. All right, we are talking to Bill O'Reilly, No Spin News. He's on Weekly with Chris Cuomo on News Nation. His new book is Confronting the Presidents. The book series Killing Kennedy, Killing Lincoln, The Mob, The Legends. You love American history. It's all ingrained in that, isn't it, Bill?
Yeah, I hope that's my legacy, that I provided the country with books that are honest and will instruct everybody who reads them into how the country really works and the world. You know, we went out with killing Patton and killing the Rising Sun, killing the SS, killing Jesus. And all of it is now proven to be, you know, I've never been challenged on what we presented. And it's the, as I said, the largest selling nonfiction series of books in history.
Absolutely.
So that's my legacy. And I'm television and radio are fine, and we've made a nice living doing it, but the books are really my legacy.
Yeah, and these killing books, you know, the assassinations of U.S. presidents, you know, the attempted assassination of President Trump, as you look back at those moments in history and what just happened with President Trump, what are the similarities and differences in what is happening now during these polarizing times that also was happening back then?
Well, you got the level of hatred is out of control now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's totally out of control. Yeah. And it's driven by a corrupt corporate media that doesn't care about the truth, just wants to make money by preaching to the choir. And that's why my operations in radio and television have been so successful, because we don't do that. I'm going to tell you, you know, what we have and whether if it falls into hurting some candidate or some person that you like, I can't help that. I've got to report what we know to be true. The rest of them, 90% of them don't do that. And we've seen that time and time again on both sides, where they'll gin up their coverage in an unfair way. I mean, the debate was a great example of that.
Yeah.
So Muir and Davis, the two ABC correspondents, clearly wanted to make Trump look bad. Clearly gave Kamala Harris a pass. When you dodge eight questions, direct questions, and the moderators don't even point it out, You know the fix is in.
From the first question.
Well, that's ABC News.
Yeah, from the first question. And that, and I saw your analysis on News Nation and No Spin News. And, you know, between the lack of specifics on any policies from Kamala and Trump not being able to keep himself in check, which is just that's his downfall every time. Although the polls judged on performance, I think, and rather than content, not only do I feel there was really no real winner in any of this, but it wasn't a win for the American people to understand what's at stake.
The audience got hosed. We the people got hosed on that debate. All right. It was ridiculous. And as far as winning on merits, nine of them won. Because nine of them made a persuasive case that there can be a problem solver for America. Now, Trump has got a record that he did solve some problems, and that's why I wrote Killing the Killers. Because Trump wiped out ISIS and the jihadists, and he did it very effectively. Okay, and in the economic realm, he did very well. And then Biden came in, and Biden's the second worst president we've ever had, because he created these problems. That open border catastrophe was created by one man, Joe Biden, not Congress, not the Democratic Party, him. He did it.
Yeah.
And once you get to that level of you're creating horrible problems for your country, you are way down by the bottom. And that, you know, he's never going to pass Buchanan. Buchanan was just awful and led to the deaths of more than a million people. His cowardice, Buchanan's cowardice. But Biden is just shockingly bad. You know, you won't hear that on the corporate media. Even after the debate where he just melted down, you had the left-wing media telling us how great he was. I mean, come on,
I know. Well, what does it come down to, you know, when it comes to Election Day in November? Like, what issues will really, really matter? Because I feel like one's running on, I can do it again. The other one is, well, we're tired of the same old story, but we're not getting any details. Like the economy, immigration, abortion. The economy undeniably has to be it.
Yeah. Here's nothing. So you're voting for, a vapid ideologue. She's definitely a progressive leftist. And with Trump, you're voting for a man who's unpredictable and can't discipline himself. So it's a tough vote. There's no doubt about it. It's a tough vote. For me, I can't vote for Harris because Harris could very well destroy the country. I mean, if she goes in and equity is all, and, you know, I wrote a message of the day saying, look, you know, we're supposed to be a country where we're all treated equally in the justice system, in the economic system, and everywhere else. So this woman's flat out not going to do that.
Yeah.
And that's what we want. And that'll divide, of course, the country even further, then gender more hatred. Whereas Trump, I think Trump would pretty much do what he did. But I don't know because he's not, you know, making a convincing case. You know, it's just not enough to say that Harris is dangerous. You got to say, here's what I will do. And then leave out the Cocker Spaniels being eaten and all this other insanity, which just erodes credibility all day long.
It was insanity. So what about another debate? So now Trump was pushing for these other debates. Harris was kind of backing off of them. And now Vice President Harris said, no, let's do another debate. Let's do two more debates. And Trump just said, no, I'm done. We're done with debates. I mean, where do we stand?
Yeah, that's a mistake. I think he might reverse it depending on the polling. You know, right now, the Trump people think they're going to win on economic issues. Mm-hmm. So they say, look, you might not like them, but you don't like paying 20% more for gas and food. So they think they're going to win that with the working men and women. But if it shows that they're not, then just like Reagan got waxed in 1984 by Mondale, which is shocking. I actually ran a clip of that on the news. He looked discombobulated.
Yeah, well done.
But he came back in the second debate after firing the people he had and hiring new people, and he just blew out Mondale, and then it was he was reelected by a landslide. Trump has got to consider that. Trump's got a stronger case. It's just about him making it. Right. So if I were Trump, I would debate her all day long, Kamala Harris.
Absolutely.
I mean, I would not fear her.
Absolutely. Bill O'Reilly, his new book is Confronting the Presidents. NoSpinNews.com is where you can find Bill weekdays and catch Bill weekly with Chris Cuomo on News Nation. Bill, always enjoy talking to you. Always, and we look forward to doing it again soon, pal.
I appreciate it, Dave. Thanks for having me in.
Thank you, Bill. All right, news is next here on 720 WGN.